I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast on thecommentary.ca.
It's Monday, the 5th of October, 2015. We're going to begin, I guess, with what everybody's talking about in North America, around the world. I mean, the problem of guns is always a problem in the United States, but this past Thursday there was a shooting in Oregon, Roseburg,
right.
Oregon. Jackie, when you think about what's happening in the United States, especially about guns, it's obviously worrying, even though we don't seem to have the same sort of problems in this country.
Right, yeah. It's the gun problem in America, it seems like completely unique to them, especially with these mass shootings in the schools. Just guns in America in itself are a problem. I think more people are killed in the U.S. by firearms than anywhere else in the world. So that says something.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the SkyTrain station or something and the people are fighting, usually it's just fisticuffs. It's just people punching one another. It may get to knives. But, I mean, in this country, if Metro Vancouver at least, if it's gun violence, that's if you're in a gang or an organized crime element or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like here in Vancouver, BC anyway, I mean, the only way you'd have a gun is, organized crime or if you're a registered gun owner. It's definitely not like the U.S. Our gun laws are clearly very different. And it seems like everybody and their dog has in the U.S. has a gun, which is troubling. Kids are getting their hands on guns. People are dying needlessly for either misuse, miseducation of handguns. And I think it's about time. I mean, the U.S. has acknowledged that they have a problem, but I think they need to actually start doing something.
Yeah, I mean, the president has talked about doing something, but, I mean, he has, I mean, that school shooting, you remember that? Well, there's been many school shootings.
Oh, yeah, which one?
Yeah, so, but, I mean, you know, the elementary school where all the children were killed out east, I mean, the president spoke about that, but nothing's done. Nothing's been done. It seems like this president has, what, a year or so before the next president comes in. Yeah, so why doesn't he just, he's a lame duck president as it is, why can't he do something about this if he feels so strongly about it?
I think that's a good question, and I think, you know, I think that's actually a platform that the incoming candidate, if they're smart, are trying to use. I know Hillary Clinton is, and she plans to tackle gun control, she says. So we'll see. I think there's so many things for poor Obama to have to try and take care of in his time that he's been there. I think this just happened like right at the cusp of his term, and I don't know, what is he expected to do right now? What can he do?
Well, you know, I heard one good idea actually on Twitter. Wayne LaPierre, who's the head of the NRA,
right.
He seems to pop up every after all of these things and think that there should be more guns in the hands of Americans.
Right.
The president obviously is of a divergent opinion. The two of them should really debate this, and I think there's no better platform than being president of the United States to do something meaningful. I mean, he's not running for re-election again, right?
No, that's true. No, he absolutely should. If he can. I don't see anything wrong with that, but I mean, I think we can all agree something needs to be done in the U.S. About the gun control, gun violence. I personally have I've shot a gun once. It was somebody's birthday, and they wanted to go out to the gun range.
Oh, so it wasn't at someone's party or something like that?
No, not like just for fun.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't hang out with those kind of people. I'm scared. I'm terrified of guns.
Yeah, but we were of a generation. We're the same ages as we mentioned last week. And I remember Columbine, took place when we were in high school. And I remember a lot of people in the high school that we went to, Sir Charles Tupper, were talking about Columbine and whether something like that would happen in this country.
Right.
So it's something that we're...
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's something we've all discussed and looked at, right? Like, what would we do? Do you think that would happen here? I mean, realistically, we can't be ignorant and naive to think that could never happen here, because anything is possible, right? The getting the gun in the wrong hands is where the problem starts. It's just that it seems that Americans have more access to the guns. I mean, they say there's roughly one gun for every person in America.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bit much. We've got kids that are being trained, I mean, rightfully so, trained by parents, going out to gun ranges, and they think they're doing this thing, like, good thing, by teaching their kids how to safely use a gun. My question is, what business does an 8, 9, 10, 11, or even, what business does any child have with a gun? We don't live in the bush. They're not hunting. This isn't the 1600s or, you know, there's no reason for a child to know how to use a gun. When I went to the gun range, there was a child there the same age as my daughter at the time, so she was about 10, and he was shooting one of the most powerful guns there. Like, it shot, and it literally shook your inside. And so he's fully comfortable at the age of 10 using a gun, a very powerful gun at that. You know, I'm not comfortable with that.
You sound like you're like most people in this country, who follow whatever's happening in the news and know more, say, about Donald Trump running for president than, say, Justin Trudeau in this current election. Are you?
No, because I've actually I stay away from American politics. It seems like it's a gong show. Actually, Donald Trump running for president, that in itself tells me I need to not. That's not. needing my attention. So, I don't know much about American politics, but I have watched, it's just because I actually recently watched a documentary on gun violence in the U.S., not because it's of any, like, you know, a big interest of mine, it just happened to be on HBO, and I watched it, and it's devastating, you know, these parents that thought they were, again, doing the right thing by training their kids how to safely use a gun, and the same kid turns around and murders his 18-year-old sister and then kills himself. No explanation, but he knew exactly, you know, he shot her right dead center in the heart. That came with training, because most 12-year-olds, I don't think, would know how to do that. But either way, a gun and a gun and a gun in a child's hand is, I don't think, is a combination for anything good. Then a gun in the hands of somebody with maybe a mental illness, somebody that's been bullied. It's just way too accessible for them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know about accessibility, but, you know, in the U.S., because I'm not there, but it's just from what we see, it appears to be that accessibility may be the issue. Because we don't see that here as openly. So there's got to be something. Okay, so moving on to, I wanted to kind of talk about celebrity BFFs. So, Joseph, you and I have had this conversation a few times amongst each other over the years. It's come up with a mutual friend of ours, Michael Kwan, and I'm always surprised by men's answers to females they think they could be friends with. This whole thing is just based on personality factor and likability. We're taking their celebrity status completely out of it. That does not come into play.
So people that we would like to be friends with?
Yeah, or that we could see ourselves being friends with, that are celebrities.
Okay.
That you find, you know, personable.
Sure.
So I, as far as females, I've always been a favorite of Sandra Bullock, and for some reason Jennifer Garner. I think it was 13 going on 30, maybe, that changed my mind about her. That made her seem like she'd be somebody that was personable.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about Sandra Bullock is what she's hard not to dislike. Wait a minute. Did I sound that, say that right? She's hard. Yeah, she's hard not to dislike, because I mean she's had all that the husband problems, and she seems like a genuinely likable person.
She does.
So I don't have a problem with her. I don't have a problem with Jennifer Garner either. I think both of them have a great sense of humor, and I think they're sort of the friends that guys would like to have. Now, someone who I think would be similar to that would be Jennifer Lawrence, but you would disagree.
Yeah, I don't understand. This is what I mean. Every man that I've spoken to about this has Jennifer Lawrence in there. And I've tried to like her. She seems cool. I've tried. But just something about her just rubs me the wrong way. I don't find her as captivating as everyone else does. She's all right.
She seems cooler than the other two that you mentioned.
She's probably cooler. Yeah, she probably is.
She's more vulgar is the wrong word, but she's got a sort of a guy's sense of humor, if you will.
I guess so.
That sounds sexist, doesn't it? I mean, but
no.
it sounds more. She seems like she'd have more of a fun time than say Sandra Bullock or Jennifer Garner, and maybe that's because they've got kids. I don't know.
I don't know. She's young. I don't know what it is about her, but she's not my ultimate favorite. That movie, what was that movie she did with American Hustle?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't, she was okay. Well,
yeah, she wasn't the star of that, though. That was, Amy Adams was the star.
Amy Adams was okay. And her, too, you know, I don't know how I feel about her. Now that she's come up in conversation. Amy Adams.
So what is it then? Is it because, why don't you tell me which male celebrities you think you would get along with?
Oh, I think Tom Hanks for sure.
Everybody likes Tom Hanks.
He looks like he'd be so, I'd love to have him as my neighbor. He'd be so, so great. And Robin Williams, of course. And actually, I was watching TV today, I was thinking about it, and Samuel L. Jackson is also an actor he's an actor, but I've always felt like he could be, you know, like Uncle Sam at the dinner table, you know, during like turkey Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
He seems pretty personable.
Yeah, it's funny how we, you know, and then we meet celebrities and we think we know them.
Right.
And I guess we think that they're our friend, don't we?
I think we do, because we get so used to seeing them. And again, it makes them a good actor, right? Because they are so passionate in their role that we believe it.
Yeah.
And we've now, you know, that person is now transformed into an entity of itself in our own mind. So it's interesting, you know, like Jennifer Garner. She's probably totally not like anybody I'd really hang out with, but I feel like we're friends. I feel like I feel like we would have a connection if we met. I was actually so happy when I learned that her and Ben Affleck were getting divorced, because I just thought he was bad news. I'm so glad she's getting rid of him. So that's how. That's how personable I feel with Jennifer Garner.
Would you go up to a celebrity if you saw them, say, at a restaurant or something?
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
It's really awkward. I mean, sometimes you got to feel it out, right? I met Malcolm Jamal Warner, Theo from
Theo.
The Cosby Show. Yeah. And I mean, oh my God. How could I not go up to him? I grew up with Theo Huxtable. So...
Yeah, I have a friend who ran into Sarah McLachlan at a restaurant, and they wanted to go up and say hello. The person they were with suggested not, and my argument was, well, why not go up to her and say hello, as long as you weren't harassing her or anything like that?
Yeah,
because she's a celebrity, because you listen to her music.
Exactly. And she may be expecting that. I could understand, like, you know, and you don't want to intrude on, like, they're eating, they're living their lives, and you're not going to be intrusive. It's just to say hello, and, you know, you appreciate their art and move on with, you know, move along. I mean, in my case, I saw Malcolm Jamal Warner, and I kind of had, like, you know, a brief little heart attack when I saw him. And then when they sat us down at our table happened to be right next to him. And I think the whole time I was just sitting there going, oh, my God, is that Theo Huxtable? And he must have heard me because he turned around and he's like, oh, you know, he can come over and say hello. And I was like, oh, my God. So, he welcomed me to come over and say hi. But again, he was also at a restaurant just sitting by himself. I didn't want to be, you know, maybe he didn't want attention drawn to him. Maybe he was okay just being there, you know, unseen. Right. I've seen a few. Him and Terrence Howard, the star of Empire, I saw him about 4 years ago downtown. And it was funny because I saw somebody kind of chasing alongside him, like a kind of rogue paparazzi.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, who is it? Why is this guy chasing this guy? And it was like the middle of summer, and he's wrapped up in like a toque and a scarf and this big jacket. And I'm like, oh, this is weird. So I stopped. We stopped right at Staples, and he made eye contact with me. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I said, do you mind if, can I take a picture? Because he stopped and he said hi, and I was like, do you mind if I take a picture? And he was like, sure, but he went around the corner. He was like, let's just go around the corner.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to be seen. So he didn't want to draw attention to us taking this picture. So we went around the corner at Staples, right next to Burrard Station there, and I got a picture of him, and he, you know, ran off and went on with his life. So I can understand.
Yeah.
May not want to be seen, and
you're not pushing a script into their hands or wanting to be friends,
like,
right?
No, I wasn't like trying to be famous or like, you know, asking him to marry me or anything. But
is there a celebrity you'd ask to marry?
Oh no, you know what? I don't think I would. I've heard of those like celebrities, marrying their fans. That's just, I don't know.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence for me.
Of course. Jennifer, you're not moving away from that?
No.
Okay. What about guys?
What about guys?
What men celebrities?
That I'd want to marry?
No.
Oh, okay.
You can see. Well, I don't know. Hey, whatever floats your boat. But
well, I had John Edward on the show, the psychic, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
and I wanted him to contact Nixon because I wanted to meet Richard Nixon.
And he said, you didn't have a personal connection.
No,
right?
He said no. He said unless I had met him or had some connection, he couldn't get us in contact. Neither Frank Sinatra either. So, yeah,
that had to be heartbreaking.
Because
I know you really felt like you've had a connection with these people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. For John Edwards to come in and tell you otherwise, that's quite big.
He's full of shit now.
Exactly. He clearly knows nothing of what's gone on in your life.
Yeah.
He's psychic, he's not psychic, he's a reader.
Yeah, no, he would describe himself as a psychic medium, so he would contact. Well, he has contact with the dead, yeah.
With the other side, I think that's just his wall. But either way, one day I'm sure you will. You'll get your opportunity to speak to Nixon. I always thought back in elementary school, when we were in elementary school, you had that big JFK thing.
Now, I was more interested in the assassination.
Yeah, it was the assassination. And then you got me on that bandwagon as well.
Yeah, so, but now that I think about it, Kennedy is not... I mean, he was an important figure in history, but I don't think he was a significant figure. Certainly not like Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan or before them, Dwight Eisenhower. So.
I guess so. Maybe that's just, you know.
That's just reading history, I guess, yeah.
It just opened a morbid sense of his death.
yeah,
and an interest in that. But that was always something I was fascinated into,
yeah,
his death. And, of course, his wife being Jackie.
Yeah.
That's important.
You weren't named after her, were you?
I don't think so. I think it was, you know, being born in the 80s, it was just a name.
Yeah.
I don't know many people of my age. Are there of my age named Jackie?
Yeah, it would be kind of weird as a kid in our generation to be called Jacqueline.
Well, yeah.
Like Mrs. Kennedy.
Yes, I was a Jackie Lynn. So, I am.
Yeah.
I go by Jackie.
Yeah.
But, you know, people call me what they want. Some great, some not so good. But I will answer to Jackie Lynn.
So there's a story out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, that was in the on the Globe and Mail's website Friday,
mm-hmm,
about a Minnesota couple who were invited to their friend's wedding. Jessica Baker is the female in the story. She got a bill for not attending the wedding of their friends. It was for $75.
Mm-hmm.
It was for, I guess, the two dishes that they had pre-ordered for the meal, and the $75.90 was for the tax, for the meal, I should say, the tax and the service charge. And so the reason why they couldn't attend the wedding, according to the story, was that it was a child-free wedding,
mm-hmm,
and they had made arrangements to leave the kids at home, but whoever was supposed to look after the kids couldn't. And so they had to cancel at the very last minute. Now, the people on social media have been talking about this. The Bakers, Jessica Baker and her husband, are insulted by the bill. But not everyone, surprisingly enough, agrees with them. A lot of people say that if you can't make the wedding, you should pay the bill. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I haven't been to many weddings. But from what I do know of weddings, they are expensive. And food is usually expensive. Now, I just think, you know, common courtesy. If you know that you're not going to be able to go to somebody's wedding, knowing that you've RSVP'd, they are paying for two plates now that have been reserved, the very least you can do is let them know as soon as possible. So maybe they can fill those seats with somebody else.
Yeah.
But to have two plates to go, you know, those are plates that they're paying for either way. You know, it'd just be nice if they at least gave them a heads up. Would I send a bill? I don't know. It seems a bit...
Yeah, it seems rude, doesn't it?
It seems a bit much. I can understand kind of where they're coming from, unless there was some sort of, agreement to that in the invitation. Like, you know, if you are RSVP and then don't show or don't let us know within 24 to 48 hours, then, yeah, we're going to send you a bill. But on the same note, it's like $75. Really, that's, come on, who gives a shit? Go buy them a gift.
Yeah.
Send them the $75 and call it a day.
Exactly,
And I'm sure, I don't know what your relationship's going to be like after that, but you'll probably never talk to them again, so you can just consider that a cheap escape from, I guess, your friendship with them for $75. There's your gift, and you'll never see them again.
Now, you've thrown parties for your kids. There must be politics involved with that.
Well, yeah, and that's why I get where these people are coming from, because... Actually, that's funny. So my daughter did have a party 2 years ago at this laser tag place, and you have to pay in advance, of course. And so I had paid for a certain amount of children. I'm pretty meticulous when it comes to planning these things, especially when you're paying for these little people in advance. So paid for this party, and there was this one parent who always shows up late to things. And I said on the invitation, please make sure you're on time or else your child will not be able to be involved. And, of course, these people showed up late, and they couldn't be involved. So that was my money wasted. Did I send them a bill? No. But I oftentimes wish I could.
Yeah.
Just to be a bitch. Not intentionally, but
yeah.
It's kind of like, actually, now that I say it out loud, it's like a passive aggressive way of, like, kind of, you know, giving someone the finger, like, all right.
But
it's a little passive aggressive.
Yeah, so do you invite them to the next thing?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
Especially not if it's something that I have to pay for. You better believe they didn't get an invitation to the next party.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
But it seems to me in this story about the wedding in Minnesota that both the couple that got married and the couple that got stuck with a bill, I mean, both of them could have acquitted themselves a little bit better. And it seems
exactly.
And it seems that there's a backstory to all of this that we don't know about. Maybe they actually hate each other. And
yeah, like there has to be more to it, you know. Even if it's a child-free wedding. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that was the other thing that struck me, a child-free wedding. If it's a family affair, every family has kids, so why not invite them or not have them a part of the wedding?
Well, why not invite them? I mean, if you know that you have friends that have children, maybe set up an area where there's daycare to ensure that these people do show up. I mean, you have to look at it. There's so many sides to this story that can be played, right? You know, to think, you know, you want me to come to your wedding. You know that I have children, but this is a child-free event. So not only do I want you to pay for a babysitter or work out your own child care, but you also need to come to my wedding and give me a gift worth X amount of dollars. Because you know then if you don't buy a gift worth a certain amount, then who knows, maybe they'll get a bill for that too. So there's so many sides to be played. On the other side, it's like you're having a child-free wedding. Maybe you could have been considerate to the fact that, hello, people do have children, and maybe set up a room with childcare to ensure that people that you love in your family that you want to be at your wedding can actually make it to your wedding because there's childcare on site. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it just
that's
seems
what I would do.
Yeah, it just seems now that we're going to have invitations, whether they're for birthday parties, it's saying, you know, expecting what the gift should be. You know, if you're going to a wedding, a gift no less than, say, X amount of dollars.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's a whole other, I mean, my daughter got that's, with her being 12 now, that's like the whole, that's the thing. Kids, and they a lot of times use their own money, right? So
yeah.
They assess, well, how much did she spend on your present? Oh, about $20. Okay, well, then we got to get her something about $20.
Yeah.
No more, no less, right? But it's so, yeah, I don't know. These poor wedding people, though, I don't know. I'd love to see it. I've read some of the comments that people have made to them.
Yeah.
You know, don't make the commitment.
It seemed to me, in the defense of Jessica Baker and her husband, that it was a last-minute thing where the sitter pulled out hours before and they couldn't really get anyone else at that point. So,
right.
I mean, I would take them at their word, unless they're liars.
Unless they're liars, exactly.
Yeah.
Or unless they have some other issues, like you said, behind this, right?
Yeah. I think there's a beef between these people, that's all.
Oh, there probably is. I
yeah.
mean, who bails on a wedding? I mean, that's short of notice. You figure it out, right?
Like, yeah.
Huge. I read it and I was kind of trying to see both sides of the case. It's like, yeah, there's no reason. I mean, sending a bill, it's whatever, but it's passive aggressive. It's just rude. And that's pretty much you just cutting off your relationship with that person, I would think.
Yeah, weddings seem to do that with a lot of friendships, aren't they? Haven't
it
you
does.
Also? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does. Funny enough, right? It's supposed to be, like, the happiest time. But, it's known to end some friendships and relationships. I'm not a big wedding person, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, that's happening in our age group, isn't it? I mean, we know people that have gotten married. People that have gotten divorced, people that are having children, and so this is that time of life, isn't it, for the people around us.
Everyone's getting married. Yeah, it is. And it's fun to watch. I mean, it's always nice to see people come together in this civil union of marriage. It's great. I won't start on my views of marriage because that could be a whole 1 hour conversation.
Well, that's another topic for another week, right?
That's a whole other show topic.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, October 5th, 2015.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre.